I, for example, being a student of Roman Catholic theology, could not possibly participate in a Mass because I know what the doctrine of the Mass is, that the Church teaches that you have a real sacrifice of Christ in the Mass. Unbloody to be sure, but that's the official teaching of the Church. Now, how can you believe in the once-for-all atonement of Christ and participate in a celebration of his being sacrificed again, as unbloody as that may be? That's ghastly.
In this video, R.C. Sproul claims that he is a student of Roman Catholic theology, and he says that he can never participate in a Catholic Mass because he, quote, knows the doctrine of the Mass. He then makes the accusation that Catholics re-sacrifice Christ in the Mass, or as he puts it, Christ is sacrificed again. The point he is making is that sacrificing Christ again is blasphemy and sacrilege, Hebrews 7:27. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered up himself. The Bible is very clear. Christ was sacrificed once for all. So the real question is, does the Catholic Church teach the Mass is a re-sacrifice of Christ, or that Christ is sacrificed again in the Eucharist, which is what Catholics call the commemoration of the Last Supper, in which bread and wine are consecrated and consumed? Let's look at the Catechism. The Eucharist is the memorial of Christ's Passover, the making present and the sacramental offering of his unique sacrifice. When the Church celebrates the Eucharist, she commemorates Christ's Passover, and it is made present the sacrifice Christ offered once for all on the cross remains ever present. In the Eucharist, Christ gives the very body he gave up for us on the cross, the very blood which he poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The Eucharist is thus a sacrifice because it represents or makes present the sacrifice of the cross, because it is its memorial, and because it applies its fruits. The sacrifice of Christ and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one single sacrifice. The victim is one and the same. The same Christ who offered himself once in a bloody manner on the altar of the cross is contained and offered in an unbloody manner. The Council of Trent says, "Therefore, our God and Lord, though he was by his death about to offer himself once upon the altar of the cross to God the Father, that he might accomplish there an eternal redemption, at the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, that he might leave to his beloved spouse the Church a visible sacrifice, such as the nature of man requires, whereby that bloody sacrifice, once to be accomplished on the cross, might be represented." As you can see, a re-sacrifice, or Christ being sacrificed again, is not what the Church is doing, and not what it teaches. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross happened once, and Christ cannot be sacrificed again. However, that sacrifice, though it happened in a moment of time, exists outside of time for all eternity and is ever present before the Father. In the Mass, that single sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which happened 2,000 years ago, is made present in the form of bread and wine. Now, you can say that you don't believe that. You have the right to your opinion. But what you don't have the right to do is reinterpret Catholic doctrine and say it is something that it is not, as Mr. Sproul's did. Catholic doctrine means what the Catholic Church says it means, not what Mr. Sproul says it means. Now, if you do deny this doctrine, I invite you to look at the words of Jesus on this account, Luke 22:19. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.' John chapter 6 says, 'I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. Now you might say, well, Christ is talking symbolically. Well, you'd better be right about that, because Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And you can't get the body and blood of Christ in the form of bread and wine in any Protestant church, even the ones that claim some kind of real presence of Christ in their communion. Only the Catholic Church, Orthodox churches, and a handful of schismatic offshoots have the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And the early church did not take the words of Christ as symbolic. They took them literal. St. Irenaeus in 180 AD says, "Christ has declared the cup, a part of creation, to be his own blood, from which he causes our blood to flow, and the bread, a part of creation, he has established as his own body, from which he gives increase in our bodies." Justin Martyr said in 155 AD, "For we do not receive these things as common bread and common drink, but as Jesus Christ our Savior, being incarnate by God's word, took flesh and blood for our salvation, so also we have been taught that the food consecrated by the word of prayer, which comes from him, from which our flesh and blood are nourished by transformation, is the flesh and blood of that incarnate Jesus." St. Ignatius of Antioch, in his letter to the Smyrnians around 110 AD, writes, "Consider how contrary to the mind of God are the heterodox in regards to the grace of God, which has come to us. They have no regard for charity, none for the widow, the orphan, the oppressed, none for the man in prison, the hungry or the thirsty. They abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they do not admit that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ." Now at this point, you might get excited and say, see, there were Christians in the early church who did not believe in the real presence, based on this letter of Ignatius of Antioch. But you have to understand the people that he is talking about were Gnostic heretics, who denied the real presence not because Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me," but because they denied that Christ came in the flesh. They denied that he had a body. They denied the incarnation. These were people that no Protestant today would consider to be real Christians. Now, it is a common misconception that Christ is re-sacrificed in the Catholic Mass, and it's an understandable one. I would like to give Mr. Sproul the benefit of the doubt, as I do most Protestants, but I can't do that. He says that he is a student of Roman Catholic doctrine. He says that he knows the doctrine behind the Mass. He is saying, "I know what I'm talking about." But then he says that Christ is re-sacrificed or sacrificed again in the Mass, which is a lie. So let me ask you a question. Do lies come from the Holy Spirit? No, they come from the devil. If you want to know what the Catholic Church teaches and believes, you go to the Catholic Church. We're not hiding anything. But you don't go to Protestant pastors and evangelical preachers, because they are not going to tell you the truth. Because if you know the truth, you might just become Catholic. And they don't want that. Until my next video, God bless.